Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest Health Innovation Works podcast. I'm going to be your host for today, John Siddle. I'm here as host of the podcast for the network. In the day job, I'm also chief exec of Health Innovation Southwest, so one of the 15 health innovation networks across England that provide the kind of boots on the ground support to local health and care systems to help them find, test and implement innovation. For me in the Southwest, working across Somerset, Devon and Cornwall, that means finding great ideas, putting them into practice that meet the needs of the rural and coastal population that we work with. So today our topic is about the implementation challenge for innovation, and I'm really delighted to have our guest with us today, Malte Gerhold, Director of Innovation and Improvement at the Health Foundation. Malte, welcome, and we're really pleased to have you here on the Health Innovation Works podcast. It's great to have you with us. Anything you'd like to say to kick us off?
Just thank you for having me, and it's really lovely to join you and your audience. Thanks, John.
Great. Well, I've really enjoyed working together over the last few years through our work between the network and the Health Foundation, and looking forward to kind of continuing some of that discussion today. So it should be good fun. Well, to kick things off, why don't we start with hearing also a bit more about you, your role at the Health Foundation. Perhaps give us a sense maybe as of what does that work mean in practice, with some examples of some of the things you're particularly passionate about with the work that your team do.
Yeah, thank you, John. So for those of you listeners who haven't heard of the Health Foundation before, we're a charitable foundation to support a healthier UK and better healthcare in the UK. And across our work, my role is to oversee and support our team and portfolio of work on change, on innovation and improvement in healthcare. And within that portfolio, we're broadly pursuing three questions that we want to help the NHS with. First of all, how should change happen in the NHS? How do we make transformation work? We know that change remains a problem, adoption remains a problem, and we've got long-standing work at the foundation to try and articulate what good change programs look like. And then the second question is how the NHS can realize the benefits of technology, which is now one of the key drivers of change that we have in the NHS, and that can help us with transformation. And again, we know that often we're not really realizing the benefits of technology well enough. We want to support that. And then thirdly, how can the NHS responsibly deploy AI to achieve change in the NHS? AI is such a great opportunity, quite a lot of hype, but also quite a lot of reality to what it can potentially do for us. And so we want to work specifically on what it means to do transformation well through artificial intelligence.
And this kind of question I've heard you talk about of needing to recognize the importance of the implementation challenge of innovation. I've heard you talk before about the long, hard grind of actually making innovation work in practice, and the kind of point of funding the tech and the change, not just funding the tech side of things. So I wonder if you expand a bit more on what you've learned at Health Foundation around what do you see as the real kind of challenge of why implementation doesn't happen. I'd love to hear any examples of kind of where you've seen that really go wrong, or maybe where you've seen it really go right, where we maybe have got it, and what we can learn from that, from how we take innovation forward.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to try and put it into a strap line, it would probably be, when it comes to implementation, to start by thinking about all the people being involved and how we change their behavior rather than the technology, the processes, outcomes, which then all come on the back of that. The reason I say that, and sort of I give you my favorite example, which is actually not from my work at the Health Foundation, but previously when I worked at a startup where we set up a pilot to share information between domiciliary care agencies and GPs, because dom care workers often see people in their own home several times a day and way more often than a GP ever would. Seemed like a good idea at the time. And we set up the processes with the help of our partners, designed the sort of safety protocols around it, et cetera, et cetera. And then suddenly we realized that those domiciliary care workers who wanted to talk to the GP practices were getting stuck because the receptionist didn't know who they were. And they, picked up the phone and said, what are you trying to sell for that? And this was within a primary care network. They actually went around the GP practices with a card and I think a box of chocolate to introduce themselves and say, this is what we do and this is what it's for. And that helped unlock that problem. I'm probably slightly over-egging it, but for me, it's such a wonderful example if I'm allowed to sort of over-egg a little bit, that actually what made this work wasn't technology and process and great thoughts, but, you know, a box of chocolate. And that's the, for me, it was, I think, a really nice metaphor to whenever we think about implementation, to some extent, switches on its head and say, okay, in terms of the change that we're trying to achieve, how does it affect people? How does it affect their day-to-day work, the culture, the sort of their relationships and their processes? And have we thought about that and how we're making, how we're making that change, that change happen. Now, if you take it a step further in terms of the Health Foundation and our work here, it's about that emphasis of understanding what is it that staff want to see in the change, what is it that patients want to see. If you start from that understanding, it becomes much easier to have those conversations around change. Doesn't mean you change exactly what people would ideally like to see change, but you have a much better, much better sense of making that happen. And then you acknowledge and recognize the sort of resource that goes into it.
That resonates a lot with, I think, the experience I've had, and I think we've had across the network, of what it really takes to change things and what it really takes to put great new promising technology, new pharmaceuticals, new devices, whatever it may be, into practice. I also wonder whether it feels to me that when we talk about implementation and the implementation challenge, there's almost kind of two stages to that. There's the stage of, okay, we've got a problem we're trying to solve, or we've got a solution that we think could help with a problem that we know matters to patients, to clinical teams, to people running services. And we need to work out what the implementation model is. And that feels like a really important part of trying to work through that. And that is buying the chocolates, going, speaking to the clinical teams, going and working out what's the real reality of some of this. But that is, for me, a really distinctive set of how do we focus on really understanding the implementation model of how to do things in different types of contexts. And then there's almost like a second bit of implementation is, and once you've understood how to do that, what are the conditions that are going to bring about large scale implementation and change? Because it feels like both of those two things are areas we underinvest in as a system. So we're great at developing the new ideas, proving through clinical trials or others that they may work. But then we go, okay, how do we put this into practice in the real world? And I wondered if that kind of distinction between like working out the implementation model and then working out the route to scale makes sense to you. And if they do, are there different things we need to do if we kind of think about what needs to change here and how we approach innovation? What are the things that would make a difference, do you think, to working out how to do things differently and then perhaps thinking about the kind of route to achieving scale of implementation as well?
Yeah, good question, John. So I do agree with that distinction, and one key element for me often in this is that in order to achieve the spread, there's sort of two things. One is your implementation model might change, right? Because suddenly you take it to lots of different places and the implementation model has to fit the place. It can't be uniform, it has to fit the place. And we talked often about how you might have consistency of function and approach, but then you need to adapt it to the local circumstances, and in terms of what capacity there is, in terms of providers, relationships, sort of, etc. And that's a very different task. But then related to that, it also means that the evidence and insight that you need to get from the sort of first initial trials or pilots, sort of three or four before you take it to 15 or 20, needs to include what those factors are for adapting the approach. The sort of question of evaluating spreadability is very different from evaluating impact.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that I think we too often neglect those two parts of the equation when we look at something that's being tried for the first time or maybe two or three locations. And then because we don't have that information, we fly a little bit blind when we go to, all right, let's now take this to 10 or 20 or sort of beyond that. In terms of sort of approach and what might be a little bit different. One thing, and this bit of more hypothesis of mine, rather than necessarily saying that this is the answer, I do think that when we try new things, we don't often enough think about the wider community of people we then possibly want to adopt the same solution, the same technology at a later point in time. And we sort of, we do our thing, we've seen it, there's some potential, some benefit, and then we go to that wider community. And actually, how do we already engage them at a much earlier stage? And not just engage in terms of, here's a newsletter, what we did today and what we found, but actually when we ask, let's say, clinicians, what would good look like for you from the solution? They're already part of that conversation. Right? And so by the time we hand over to them and say, we've now tried it, it has some evidence, they're already part of that conversation and sort of they're making that happen. Of course, what that looks like is very different from something that you want to spread across, you know, let's say GPs versus across trusts or sort of otherwise, but that sort of sense of community and building that community, I think sort of from the start. The second element is, and this is something, again, particularly this institute in Cambridge are doing exciting work with, is the idea that when you build this community of people who are doing the change from the outset, that you generate the insight for what works and what doesn't work in terms of approach. And so not just the formal evidence, but how you implement it, how you optimize it with them, and you make them the source of that understanding. And nowadays you can obviously do that by hosting them through a digital platform, and you can still do it very robustly. You can sort of build a learning system in that way where the insight is generated by the people who do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And has so much more credibility as a result, right? When you sort of take it to the next, because say, well, actually, this has been done by people like you.
Yeah.
Yes, they're somewhere else, but, you know, exactly like you. And I think it can sort of help overcome the, you know, that sort of not invented here syndrome. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, you know, when we talk about implementation, investing in it, I'd also really emphasize that focus on evaluation and really understanding the evidence.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, all the Health Innovation Networks are also, you know, doing work on the evaluation side. And I'm always still surprised how often evaluation is seen as a sort of nice to have in these sort of change conversations. And, you know, when we talk about the status of implementation, the status of evaluation, particularly sort of rapidly as things get rolled out.
But not just for the purpose of working out whether something works or how to make it work. My experience has been you actually then need to stick with the evaluation through the implementation as well, because the evaluation is the model of driving the optimization of how you actually put something into practice, because it helps you. It's the learning system model that you mentioned of helping to understand where it's working, work out where it's not, and then build that model of learning from different places as you go to larger scale rollout of things that we know have worked someplace. So yeah, absolutely agree. I'm really grateful for, you know, how deeply you think about it and some of the thoughts you brought into the conversation today. Before we finish, any kind of parting gifts of like things that give you hope, some of this that might kind of move us into a world where that focus on implementation is going to get taken seriously. So anything that gives you hope for the short term, maybe for the longer term as well. And then we'll finish and close from there.
Yeah. Thanks, John. So what gives me hope, or I guess what I'm very hopeful about in the short term, I do think there is great opportunity where technology can genuinely make a difference and make, you know, work and life better for clinicians. And it may not be quite de rigueur to talk about clinicians and NHS staff first and then about patients. But I do think it's such an important question of how we can demonstrate to the NHS workforce staff that the technology is not just logging on four times a day and the computer not working and not finding the laptop, but it can also genuinely make your day or your work better. And I do think the technology is there, and I do think it can be achieved, and I do think the recognition is there, and I'm hopeful that we will see something happening in that space, because I do, you know, speaking about hope, I do think we need to demonstrate that it actually can make a difference, because there's a huge amount of cynicism, or to some extent exhaustion and fatigue, about technology and the conversations and AI and all these things, and I think we, you know, it's part of our responsibility and national policymakers and politicians to say no, we're going to help demonstrate that this can be done and this is actually good for you.
Yeah.
And do it in that way. We should also do that for patients and, you know, so beyond. But that's sort of my short-term hope. And I actually think we need to set the bar higher and say, no, with technology, this can be, you know, can be better than what we've got today in terms of the experience, in terms of the access, in terms of the understanding of the data, whatever it might be. So my medium to longer-term hope is that we can hold on to that greater ambition of what it means to do implementation well or to do it responsibly than compared to where we are today.
Right. Thank you. Malte, that's been great. I've really enjoyed it. As I say, great to sort of step back from the day job and explore some of these things together. And thanks for making time for it as well.
Thank you very much, John.
I know you've got a lot on, and as all of us do, trying to make an impact in this area, and looking forward to continuing our work together as well. I'd say to everyone listening, if you're not already following the work of Malte and her team, take a look at the Health Foundation's website, follow the team on LinkedIn. I find Malte, your team, a great source of like an honest view of what's going on in the world around innovation improvement, and there's always new stuff to look at there that's helps to inform our work here as Health Innovation Networks, but also my work in the Southwest as well. We'll close there. If anyone would like to hear more about the work we do as Health Innovation Networks and more examples of conversations like this, sign up for the podcast. So the Health Innovation Podcast, there's lots more there to listen to other conversations like this, but also follow us on LinkedIn as well, and you get a sense of some of the conversations we're having with people like Malte and others and how we make innovation work better for patients, for the public, for clinicians, and for industry partners we work with across the country. Great, we'll close there. Thanks, Malte. See you again soon.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed that.